CNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. In this hour, we will do our 21 Pilots ticket giveaway. Plus, in about 20 minutes, we got Big Justice and AJ, the Costco guys, will be rocking with us, and we'll be having lots of fun as we get ready for All In tomorrow at Globe Life Field. And I know Alec is fired up for that. Hopefully, I don't want to say equally, but hopefully you're also fired up for NFL overreaction or reality. I was going to say equally, but that feels like an unreasonable bar to set, does it not?
Yeah, but I will quote Corey Majors when it comes to NFL overreaction or reality. I'm a Care Bear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
That is true.
I like it. All right, NFL overreaction or reality. Despite the Cowboys having George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb can, yes.
Jacob DeGrom will not participate in the All-Star game. He will attend the game and partake in festivities, but he will not pitch, according to the Rangers.
That's probably for the best.
Sorry to interrupt NFL stuff, but
that's what you want, right?
I don't want him pitching.
Because he'd only pitch one inning, and you're like, get fired up, cool back down. Did we just waste, like, essentially a start, and we need to save innings on him anyway?
I don't know. Does that work with his whatever regimen that he does?
Yeah.
And are they like, no, we have a perfect plan. Do not mess up the plan, even with the All-Star game. So maybe that's the case.
Yeah. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. NFL overreaction reality. Despite the Cowboys having George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb can still lead the NFL in receiving yards this season. So
yeah,
he's down on the list. He's tied for fourth with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. behind Chase Jefferson and Nico Collins.
If the Cowboys' offensive line is good, that will make the Cowboys' running game good. And if the Cowboys' running game is good, that means play action, as Alec pointed out yesterday, is going to be good as well. And I think bigger chunks of yards can lead, if your play action is working, I think that not only Pickens, but CeeDee Lamb can get big chunks of yards with their catches. So I think that's an absolute yes. Even though George Pickens is here, does not mean that CeeDee Lamb can't still be as productive as he's been.
Yeah, it's a reality because exactly what Corey said. I think that this newer offense, it might not look totally different, but I think there will be more of an emphasis, as we talked about yesterday, on trying to get the run game going, which opens up the play action, which lends itself to more big play opportunities in general, whether it is on the ground or through the air. And I don't think that anything holds back CeeDee Lamb from being good. I think he's still good enough to where we saw it a few times last year with Cooper Rush, where there was catch and run touchdowns. There was catch and run big play ability down the sideline, up the middle of the field. So he still has that ability regardless of whoever he's lining up with.
NFL overreaction reality. This came from Danny Parkins on FS1. Caleb Williams is already better than Jordan Love. What do you think about that fiery thought? Overreaction or reality?
Overreaction.
I agree.
Caleb Williams there were times where he was good last year.
Yeah.
There was nothing sustainable about their drives, though. And he held the ball too long. He ran for his life too much. There were a lot of bad habits he got into in year one. I think Ben Johnson's going to be very good with him, and that's going to set him up for success. But Jordan Love's already proved some things. However, Jordan Love has not had year in, year out consistency.
Okay, bonus question wrapped into all of that then. What's Jordan Love's deal? NFL overreaction to reality. You think he's pretty, pretty good?
I think he's pretty, pretty good.
Okay.
And very capable. Injuries are a problem for him.
Yep.
That dude gets hurt a lot.
Yep.
He doesn't really have a name. He has a bunch of really decent receivers, guys that are like good receivers, but not a big name receiver that you're like, oh my gosh, I fear that guy. Right now, the Packers are a bunch of young players that nobody truly stands out on the team yet.
I gotcha. Yeah. Alec, question, bonus question. You don't think that Jordan Love is better than Caleb Williams, right? I mean, I'm sorry.
Trying to set me up,
I'm sorry. You don't think Caleb Williams is better than Jordan Love?
You're trying to get me on awful announcing. No, I'm right there with Corey. There's no way. Like, not right now. Can he be? Absolutely. And talent-wise, which is something you can't measure whatsoever, I think so. But in terms of actual productivity in the NFL, no, not at all. Like, we got to see more. And then, what's his deal?
Yeah.
What's his deal? It's the fact that their front office just seems to hate putting good players around good players sometimes.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very weird. And you talked about it with Aaron Rodgers pretty much his whole time there after the Super Bowl run is, can they draft a receiver to kind of help out Davante Adams a little bit? That would be cool. Can they get a good running back, you know, post Eddie Lacy? Like, can we get something going here? They get Aaron Jones and then they move on from him. It's like, okay, well, can we get him some help? Get the man some help. And then I think we're talking about him in a lot more desirable of a manner.
This one's going to be interesting. I promise I did not pick this question only for selfish reasons.
Great.
Overreaction or reality? Urban Meyer was the worst NFL head coaching hire of the past 25 years. Now, CBS Sports, not me, did this article where they listed the worst 25 coaching hires. Top 10 goes like this. Rod Marinelli, Matt Patricia, so back-to-back Lions. Art Schell, the second go-around. Marty Morningwing, that is the Lions. Again, Jim Tom Sula, then you move into the top five. Nathaniel Hackett, Josh McDaniels, back-to-back Broncos.
I was going to say Josh McDaniels for the hire in Indianapolis, and then he didn't even go.
Where he didn't go?
That seems like a pretty crappy hire.
I mean, then you can argue Belichick faked to the Jets for 5 seconds in 2000. And then Cam Cameron, and then Bobby, and Urban Meyer. I'm just kidding. The second one is Bobby Petrino, and then Urban Meyer. Overreaction or reality, Urban Meyer is the worst NFL head coaching hire in the last 25 years.
I don't know how many of those other guys kicked their kicker. I don't know how many of those other guys had a Trevor Lawrence to start things off with. If you have Trevor Lawrence on your team, you feel pretty good that, all right, I got some foundation to start with here. I'll build from there and work out. Urban Meyer was unable to get that thing working together. And they needed to stack talent. They didn't do a very good job at that either. They didn't do a very good job of developing at all. All they did was say, hey, these guys should be able to play like pros. We'll see how it all works out. But yeah, Urban Meyer was that bad, I think.
Cam Cameron
was pretty bad too.
Okay.
1-15 is pretty miserable, but that Miami team was pretty bad.
Dave Campo was at 21 and Steve Spurrier was at 20. Just in case you wanted to know. Alec, is that an overreaction or is that a reality?
I think it's a reality. I do want to throw a fun name out there that I was surprised didn't make it inside the top 10. David Culley for the Houston Texans.
Ooh.
That felt like one of the most fraudulent hires in recent history. If you went inside of 5 years, I think that definitely makes the conversation, but that was just one that randomly came to mind too, that I was like, they just ran out of good options. So they said something that satisfies the Rooney rule. It gets people to talk a little bit and we can easily get out of a cheaper deal because he has no real coaching experience at a high level. But yeah, if you kick your kicker, I think you make a really good conversation there on top of the stuff that we joked about earlier this week at the bar and whatnot. So, yeah, it was away from game day. It was not the production on the field. It was just the mess that he was in the headlines.
Somebody did point out one of those other guys went all defeated. So
true.
So like that seems to be a bad one, but I will also grant that was also a very bad football team.
Okay, I don't know how you feel about this. Number 25, Robeo Crennel, Eric Mangini, Pat Shurmur, Rod Chudzinski, and Mike Pettin. All five of them were listed because from 2005 to 2015, each of them averaged 2.2 seasons apiece, and they went a robust 57 and 119.
Oh, wow.
So they're like, I'm not going to bother spreading those out. They all just get lumped in together. And Nick Saban, by the way, is number 24.
The Jets have made some pretty ridiculous hires over that time. Just saying.
The Browns.
The Jets have been pretty ridiculous, too.
All right. So let me ask you a follow-up Browns question.
All right.
Overreaction or reality? You would love to see the chaos get maximized by Kirk Cousins getting traded to the Browns.
Yes.
Man, you didn't hesitate on that at all. So for the win, had 10 realistic pre-training camp trades, and one of them is Kirk Cousins to the Browns. And I'm like, well, how the hell would that work?
Mm-hmm.
Would they just cut the two vets? Flacco and Pickett?
Why would they do that?
They need all five.
Two Super Bowl champs right there.
Yeah. Okay. Kirk Cousins hasn't proven that he can stay healthy. I mean, just in case. You need some people. You need bodies.
This would be the one scenario camp where arms. I'd be like, we're fine. We got four other quarterbacks.
Yeah, name a team that has these quarterbacks.
That's true. I could not. You know what? I'll tell you what. If you needed a starting pitching rotation of quarterbacks, I could not name a better one in the league than the
Browns. That's the Rangers rotation.
Yeah. Yes.
Grizzled vet, mm-hmm. Nate Eovaldi, Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Potential superstar, oft injured, Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Shedeur Sanders, Jack Leiter. All right. Dylan Gabriel, Kamar Rocker. Like, we'll just, yes, that's perfect.
One more quick one for you. NFL overreaction or reality. At 10-1, you think Bijan Robinson's a heck of a value bet to win the rushing title?
Ooh, I do, but at the same time, I'm a little, I don't know how they're going to, if they're going to use him the same. Like, I thought Arthur Smith was just gonna be like, run all the time with him. But I'm curious as to how they are going to use him this year. But he's got the skill to do it. He's got the ability to do it for sure.
Alec, 10-1.
I always like those long shot odds whenever they even make a little bit of sense. So, yeah, I think it kind of goes back to the Baker Mayfield conversation the other day where it's, yeah, the assets and the ability is there. I may as well throw $10 on it and give it a prayer.
Yeah. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we get you further ready for AEW All In Texas with the Costco guys in studio right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan as we move into the expressway. We're getting you further ready for AEW All In Texas from the Costco guys. We've got AJ with us this afternoon. How the heck are you doing, man?
What's going on, Corey? What's going on, Kevin? So happy to be here. It's time to bring the boom!
I love it. Now, did we lose Big Justice along the way? What happened?
No. Big Justice is here in Texas. He and Rizzler are opening up some cards today.
Nice.
Recording some content today. So they're just hanging out, taking it easy today, getting ready for tomorrow.
You did not know that we are the card show of record.
Yeah, we are. We love sports cards. Are you into sports cards? Obviously, I assume they are.
We were at the Panini building yesterday. It was awesome. I got to get some cards to you. We got our AJ and Big Justice kaboom. I should have brought some. I'll get them to Matt over here. We'll get them out to you. But Big Justice loves the cards, and you know, I love when Big Justice is happy, so I really support him in the card game. So that's what he does.
So I will always take this shameless attempt to tell you that the day before Thanksgiving, we hold a marathon charity show for an organization here in Dallas. It's in Plano called My Possibilities.
Okay.
And they help people with brain injuries and other difficulties. So yeah, whatever. We'll always take it to help for the donations.
Yeah, let's help people. That's what it's all about. It's about helping people. It's about making people happy. That's who we are. That's what we do. So we're in.
Yeah, I saw y'all opening. Was it Marvel pack? The big Marvel
pack? Yeah, I love that pack. I love that pack. We opened up the Wolverine.
Oh, nice.
So what was that? The Wolverine was the case hit.
Yeah, y'all had the Thor. Y'all were looking for Hulk, right?
I'm still Hulk hunting. Yeah, I'm still Hulk hunting. Yeah.
That is amazing. So I'm curious. How did you get into wrestling? I know you had a background wrestling. So how did you personally get into like the independent wrestling scene before we even get into how you linked up with AEW?
You know, this is crazy. This is probably the first time, or at least one of the first times I'm being asked this question. It's
poor journalism on the other
part. I had to come here to you, Kevin, right? So I grew up in New Jersey, born and raised in New Jersey. And just before leaving for college, so I was going to go play Division III college football. And then Iron Mike Sharp, Kevin's greatest athlete, absolute legend, opens up Iron Mike Sharp School Professional Wrestling about 15 minutes from my house. So my mother's awesome. My mother supported everything. Like the crazier, the better. My mother was great. So I said, Ma, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go. I'm supposed to go to Washington, D.C., to Catholic University of America. I said, you know what, Ma? I don't think I'm going to go play football. I think I'm going to stay here in New Jersey, go to wrestling school. I'll go to Seton Hall. She said, whatever you want to do, go chase your dreams.
That's awesome. That's pretty amazing right there.
Yeah.
Because you could see if she would have been like, what are you talking about?
She didn't care.
That's
amazing. I learned a lot from my mother, and that's the same approach I take. And I think that's a big reason why our channel has the success it has, because it's Big Justice Channel. Go ahead, kid. Go do the thing. You run the show. I'm right here to support you. No one's going to stop us.
Yeah, that's the feel I get off of it. I was kind of curious, when is it you kind of pushed him to this, or he was like, "Hey, Dad, I want you and I want to be involved," like that relationship, because my boys, they were like, "Let's start Major Bros." I was like, "Let's do it then." And it's always fun to do those videos, but you guys took off obviously with the Costco bit, and then that took it to another level. But was it you saying, "Hey, come do this with me, son," or did he want in on it first?
It was Big Justice wanted in on it. I couldn't be happier. So that was the spark. And then as soon as Big Justice said, "Hey, I want to make a video," we were off to the races.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I have a game that I want to play in a minute, Kevin.
Oh, great.
But
we'll... I don't actually know what this game is. So.
You want to play it now?
Go ahead.
I got a game I want to play with you.
All right, here we go.
Content creation.
Right.
You guys, now I don't know if y'all are pitched ideas or if y'all are like, "No, we're coming up with these." I don't know how that works, but I got some ideas.
All right, let's go. We're going to give them a boom or a doom.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Boom or doom.
All right. Content creation ideas, boom or doom.
Would you rather watch me arm wrestle a snow leopard?
Arm wrestle snow leopard.
Or Kevin play tennis against a kangaroo?
Oh, yeah.
Kangaroo playing tennis.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, kangaroo playing tennis with Kevin. I think that you're going to stay a little bit longer. Arm wrestle's not going to last too long.
Yeah, not at all.
The kangaroo playing tennis, we'll get about 60 seconds out of it. We could get the ball bouncing back and forth. We could show like some graphics, kind of like a laser beam graphic of where the ball is going back and forth. Yeah.
So Dirk Nowitzki has a tennis tournament here, and I said some ridiculous statement like, "I could defeat any animal in a tennis match."
Okay.
And he goes, "I definitely want to watch you play tennis against a kangaroo." I was like, "I'd smoke that kangaroo in straight sets." So I'm glad that this is picking up steam.
Yeah. All right.
So I don't know, Corey. I think I'm taking the kangaroo.
Okay. All right. There we go. I think so too.
No chance.
Would you rather watch?
I'm deceptively agile.
Would you rather watch me eat a can of cat food upside down on a trapeze?
Right.
Or Kevin staple a cardboard sign to his chest and stand on the street asking for full-size candy bars?
Oh my gosh.
Not the little snack size. They have to bring full-size candy bars.
I got to go with Kevin again. Because I think that with that scenario, you're going to get people involved and you never know who's going to show up.
Yeah.
So you never know who's going to show up, who's going to have the candy bars. Yeah, Kev, you're 2-0. You got two booms over there, Kev. Boom, boom.
Do I want to have conversations with the people who are just carrying around full-size candy bars and walk up to a shirtless man with a sign stapled
on? They may have seen you before and then went to the store to get the candy bar. You don't know how they have the candy bar.
Hey, by the way, Van, my production manager's here. Van, are you taking notes right now? So far we got tennis with a kangaroo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got candy bars on the street.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
I got more.
All right.
Would you rather watch me do a mousetrap maze blindfolded?
This one's going to be tough to beat.
Or Kevin unicycling and juggling chainsaws at the same time?
Going through the mousetraps blindly.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, the chainsaws are off. With that content.
They're off, though. The chainsaws aren't on. I'm just saying.
Here's what I feel. I feel that sometimes, like, you push the limits of content creation, but you push the limits of content creation to make a good video to get views.
Yes.
Sometimes you do something like juggling chainsaws on a unicycle. That's just like pushing it to as far as you could push it without doing damage to yourself.
Quick.
So I think I think trying to get through a maze of mousetraps blindly, like the snapping and all that.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. And I've done that before.
Yes, believe it or not, we have actually done that as part of our charity show. We try to do ridiculous nonsense to entertain people along the way. Have you guys ever made a video that you're like, why did this not take off? Like, surely, I know you guys have had a ton of success.
Yeah.
Surely there's been a video or two where you're like, come on, guys. Like, that should have been way more views on this thing.
Yeah, it definitely has been. I'm trying to think right now if I can think of anything specifically. But yeah, that definitely has happened. And, you know, Mr. Beast said it best. Mr. Beast said, if you replace the word algorithm with the word audience, you find a lot of answers.
Yeah.
So if something isn't taking off, you start thinking to yourself, well, the algorithm didn't pick it up. And no, what really happened was the audience didn't really like that.
Yeah.
I have a good example for you. Our last song, the audience didn't really like our last song.
Huh.
So, you know, We Bring the Boom was just epic. It was just
huge.
Part of America. I mean, Monday Night Football, we were here for the Cowboys.
Yes.
They're playing We Bring the Boom.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons, you know, dancing up on the screen. So our last song, Believe in the Boom, it didn't resonate as much. It was a little bit more of like a motivational song, more of like a motivational song, kind of had like a club feel to it.
Yeah.
Where We Bring the Boom was more like 80s rap. And I think like that's more what our audience is looking for.
They knew what they wanted to hear. Like, yeah. Similar to our audience. They know what they want to hear. And we kind of try and navigate towards
yes.
that. That makes a lot of
you
sense.
You got to give the audience what they want. Yeah, no doubt.
I know you have more content creation questions.
We'll get the back half on that in a minute.
Maybe we can bounce back and forth just a little bit. I'm curious. For tomorrow, All in Texas, this is not by any means your first foray with AEW. And there's probably more than I'm not familiar with, but I think about Full Gear from last year. Was that the first like real involvement with AEW? And how special was that show and kind of those moments for you, seeing as how Prudential Center, Jersey?
Greatest moment of content creation for me. Greatest moment of this content creation journey for me was stepping back in the ring for AEW at Full Gear. So I you know, it's out there. I broke my foot that afternoon.
No.
So I broke my foot that afternoon, and I knew at some point during the match there was going to be an opportunity to go to the top rope. And I knew that's what everyone wanted to see. So before the show, I climbed to the top rope. I'm looking around the arena. I'm like, okay, this is what's going to feel like later. This place is going to be packed. I said, great. I go to jump down. Something happens. And I said, I must have twisted something. It doesn't feel right, whatever. I'm going to go get this thing taped up. So I go back to the medical room. I say, hey, I just want to get this taped up. I'm going to throw my boot on. We're going to be good. Like, oh, let's take a look at that for you. Mm-hmm. So now they're pushing it this way. They're twisting it. They're hitting it with a metal rod. I'm like, oh, no, everything's good. Just tape it up. Let's go. So I wrestled that full match on a broken foot. Wow. I didn't know it was broken.
Wow.
I didn't know it was broken. Nothing was stopping. You're going to have to cut the foot off to keep me out of the ring.
For sure.
Nothing was stopping me.
Do you think that would have been the case anywhere, or specifically Jersey?
No, for the opportunity to be back and everything. I mean, listen, you can't promote a match for 3 months, get everyone all psyched up for the match and be like, oh, sorry, it's not happening.
For sure.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
How much do you think your enjoyment of wrestling helped with these videos too? Because it's like cutting a promo.
It's everything.
Right?
It's everything. Yeah, it's all about bringing the happiness to the audience.
Yeah.
It's all about sending the audience home happy. I mean, listen, nobody said it better than Dusty Rhodes, right? Dusty, I mean, the most epic promo of all time. It's up to us to give good time. So, yeah, I mean, I think about that all the time, and that's what it is. I mean, it's about bringing good times to the people that come out to see pro wrestling. And I don't think there's anything else. I mean, listen, we're here in Dallas. I mean, amazing sports town, right? Cowboys, Mavericks, Rangers. I mean, what a great relationship we have with the Rangers. There are the Stars, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's not forget, though, that there is nowhere else on the planet that the audience is so much a part of the show as professional wrestling.
That's true.
The audience is really, you feel connected. You just feel like you're part of the show when you're in the audience at a professional wrestling show.
Athena told us the same thing the other day.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who told you?
Athena.
Athena was it? Yeah. Okay.
And because she's from here. Like,
she's just like, the audience is exactly where it is.
Yeah, Athena's been lighting it up. So, yeah, I mean, the audience is such a part of the show.
Now, you talked about Dusty Rhodes, one of the all-time most lovable people. Obviously, we've had Dustin, and I know he's not with the company anymore, but Cody as well in studio with us. On the flip side, what is it that makes Don Callis so hateable? Because you're in the midst. You're
everything.
You're feeling everything. His family.
Don Callis is just a dude.
Yeah, I could see that.
He is just the opposite side of everything that I do. Everything that I do is about bringing happiness, bringing positivity. Don Callis wants everybody down while Don Callis thrives. That's not the way the world is supposed to be. We're all supposed to be happy. We're all supposed to thrive together. There's plenty of sunshine for everyone.
Is the specific match set up? Because you just kind of threw it out there. You're like, Callis family, bring it on. I don't care who it is. What are the specifics we're going to be looking at tomorrow then?
Someone had to do it. Mm-hmm. Someone had to do it. Someone had to call out the Callis family. And if it had to be Big Boom AJ, it had to be Big Boom AJ. So the Callis family will be throwing at us tomorrow. Rocky Romero, they're bringing out Trent. They're bringing out Lance, and they're bringing out Hechicero.
Okay.
And we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready. We have someone to combat everyone. We got me. We got Kyle. We got Hologram is going to be with us. And, of course, Ishii's coming out there with us. Ishii's coming out there with us. You wouldn't want to be looking at the other side of the ring looking at Ishii.
All right. I'm glad that you said Tomohiro Ishii, who looks like he was literally built out of granite and stone. That's what I needed to hear, because we've also had Lance Archer in studio with us, and he is a terrifying individual in person. So I'm glad that you said you've got Ishii, because I think that's a fair mashup. I get that.
I am a little concerned, though.
Let's hear it.
Do you know that inside that stadium there are three Hurtado barbecue locations.
I know every Hurtado barbecue location.
That's inside the stadium.
Every Hurtado barbecue. Brandon is an awesome, awesome guy. So we came down here for the Power Showcase in November. Yeah. By the way, Globe Life has felt like my second home for the last year.
Yeah, it's fun.
Can you help us with the hitting at all? Since you're familiar.
Yeah, Ranger, you're going to need Big Justice. Right yeah, I think you got to put Big Justice.
Okay, okay. Need Big Justice. Yeah, yeah.
So we came out here for the Power Showcase. Big Justice cranked it. Hit a 286-foot home run.
Nice.
So proud of Big Justice. And while we were there, we were told, got to try Hurtado Barbecue. So we get to Hurtado. We meet Brandon Hurtado. Every time we're in town now, he's here. So he's going to be catering our suite tomorrow.
Sweet. That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Brandon's a good friend of ours. We've known him for quite some time. We were, before he even got in the stadium, we were friends with him then. And then all of a sudden it just launched. And it's been awesome to see him grow that way.
Man, that new restaurant of his, right?
It's awesome. Right here in Dallas.
He's not in town this week. He's at a convention, I think, or something.
Yeah.
And promoting his book, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's got his book he's promoting right now. But
yeah, Brandon gets it. Brandon gets it. Yeah.
Now, we were talking about this. I think the match I'm most excited for tomorrow outside of your
outside of Big Justice and the Rizzler.
I just wanted to make sure that that's a given. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I think we're all really pumped for Mercedes Moné and Timeless Toni Storm.
Right.
I was wondering if you have a particular rooting interest there, because I think in some of the other matches, it feels like Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, Swerve. And Will Ospreay. Those are your guys that you're going to be rooting for tomorrow, right?
Absolutely. You mentioned everyone I'm going to be rooting for tomorrow. Of course, Swerve and Will. Of course, the Hangman. Of course, Kenny. Now, I will be rooting for Timeless Toni Storm tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
I think Timeless Toni is going to have to bring her absolute A game. We know Mercedes Moné. We know she's resourceful. We know that what she can pull off in the ring. I mean, she's the CEO for a reason. So I'll be rooting for Timeless Toni Storm. I think she does have an uphill battle. And we know what Mercedes Moné could do. She's been doing it for a long, long time, and it's going to be a tough one.
Is there one of those particular matches that, like, if you had to boil it down to one outside of yours that you're most looking forward to? Because Young Bucks against Swerve and Will Ospreay, I'm pumped for that. Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada, we've been waiting for that rematch for 7 years now. Hangman Page, we've had on our show before, getting his shot at the world title against Moxley. If you had to pick one...
I do like Will and Swerve teaming up. Okay. I do like that. So that, to me, as a fan, is the most interesting match to me. Now, a few reasons why. So I had been out of wrestling for a little while. And when I came back and I was invited out to AEW All Out in Chicago, and we sat in the front row, and I had seen the Young Bucks for the first time, I was like, wow, this game has changed.
Yeah.
This game has totally changed.
Yeah.
And now to see...
Can I pause you for one second? I'm so glad that you said that. So...
Was it Ricochet we were talking about that with the other day?
That is true. But one of our former co-hosts, Mike Bassick, who is now one of the play-by-play announcers for the Texas Rangers,
right?
I took him to Winter is Coming several years ago at the Colwell Center, where I know you guys just had back-to-back shots there. And the first match was an hour-long draw. And he goes, are the matches usually this long? Because like he hadn't been around since the Sportatorium days.
Right.
And he goes, the things they can do now... like blew his mind.
It's crazy, right? I mean, yeah, we growing up, I was used to 8-10 minute matches.
Yeah.
By the way, so I grew up in Northern New Jersey.
Okay.
So I would say from the time I was about 8 or 9 years old until the time I was about 14, 15, starting to play high school football and getting a little busier, I was at a wrestling match at least once a month between Madison Square Garden, between the Meadowlands, the Philadelphia Spectrum. I mean, everything was right there.
What a triangle of arenas.
What a triangle
right
of arenas.
That's
what a try, but nothing like Madison Square. There is nothing like Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, we were talking about iconic stadiums and arenas, and that's the one arena that we put out up there at the top.
I mean, just the ceiling at MSG, the rotunda.
Yes.
I mean, you're in the middle of New York City. Yeah.
So my wife and I just got a chance to go see that arena a couple months ago because we went to the Prudential Center to watch Duke in the NCAA tournament, watch some Cooper Flag and everything like that. So it is amazing. I'm curious when you mentioned, you know, being in Chicago before Full Gear for the previous pay-per-view, could you have ever fathomed this was the path that you would go?
When you look back at it, yes. In the moment, no. But when so the old clips of my independent wrestling surface. And we start getting comments, we start getting energy. Big Boom AJ, when are you in the ring? We got to see Big Boom AJ in the ring. So I was thinking maybe like a local independent or something. Yeah, let me do a local independent. Let's get some clips. Let's get it out there for everyone to see. Next thing you know, we get a call from AEW. Like, hey, we got this thing going on in Chicago. And I said, you know what? Chicago will be great because I've been meaning to get to the Yak. They've been trying to get us out there. Yeah. So we'll go to Chicago. We'll go to the Yak. Cameo is a great partner of ours. Okay. Cameo is a great partner of ours. We do a ton of cameos. We love cameos. So we said we'll get to the Cameo building. Tommy the Food Guy, awesome creator out there. Tommy the Food Guy, probably one of our first major collabs was with Tommy the Food Guy. So we said, let's see Tommy the Food Guy and let's go to All Out. So he said, yeah, absolutely. We'll get there. We'll do some stuff backstage. We'll do some TikToks with everyone backstage. And then they say, oh, and bring your gear. We're going to take some pictures. I said, bring my gear. I said, what gear? So right away, I make up some gear. Now, this was way before we thought that I was going to be Big Boom AJ in the ring.
Yeah.
So I was still going by my old persona.
Hold on. Don't say it. Let me check my notes. Make sure I got it right.
Go ahead.
Was it, in fact, the American power child, Eric Justice?
It is the American power child, Eric Justice. Now,
we did our research. I did journalism.
Now, take a look at the name. Take a look at the name Eric Justice. Where do you think that name comes from?
Eric the Red. From way back in the day.
It's a lot easier. Just look at it. It's based on the look. If you look at American... I just gave it away. So if you look at American Justice...
Okay,
you take the AM off the front, you take the AN off the back, and you got Eric Justice.
That makes sense.
So now our son is Eric Justice Bufumo.
I like that. I like that.
Unbelievable. Too much,
yeah, probably. So I was the American power child, Eric Justice. I brought an American flag to the ring. I always wore American-style gear.
That is so cool.
So I had gear made up that was in my American Power Child theme, and I didn't know wrestling was going to happen. So then after All Out, I get a call like, all right, we got this idea for full gear. What do you think? And, you know, that's when the whole Big Boom AJ thing was born.
There you go. Unbelievable. Now, I know I'd interjected on some of your content ideas.
I was also going to ask, though, like, I've seen videos where the whole family's in.
Yeah.
And Do they want, are they excited to be in those videos, everybody else, or are they like, oh, I guess we'll do it?
Very, very excited now. It wasn't always that way.
Okay.
It wasn't always that way. Ashley had worked very, very hard throughout eighth grade to get into a certain high school program for college and everything. And then what happened was we went to the, it was the open house for Big Justice to go to middle school.
Gotcha.
We get there. The cheerleaders had a cheer ready for him. The dance team had a dance ready for him. The principal said, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. And like right then, right there, like we knew the school wasn't for us.
Yeah.
It was a distraction for everybody. We had to come up with something else. So we went home that exact night and we had a conversation. We all sat down. We had a family conversation. We said, look, you know, Eric and I, Big Justice and I, like we've achieved this. We love this. We're not letting go of this. We would absolutely love your support on this. But, you know, we'll support you however you want. And, you know, we're always a family. We have to find a way to make this work. That was on a Thursday. By Saturday, Ashley was in the studio singing, "We Bring the Boom!"
I love it. That's awesome. That is great.
Yeah, now we're all in. Ashley and Mama Justice have their own channel. We're a content creation family.
That's really cool. I really like that a lot. I will have a couple more questions. Would you rather watch a video of Kevin climbing a tree to save a cat?
Oh, that's a good one.
Or me diving into the ocean to save a woman's wedding ring.
No, the cat up the tree to save the cat.
I don't know that lady. Plus, I'm probably trying to pawn that ring anyway.
I mean, the cat has life, right?
Yeah.
The cat has life.
Exactly.
The wedding ring is, you know, it's got sentimental value, but at the end of the day, it's an object. You can replace it.
I've tried to set up Kevin for all these, Kevin actually. That's what I've been trying to do.
Wait, so you have right now, you have one. All right, Kev's got three booms. You got one.
Yeah,
let's go best of five.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to get five.
I got two more. Would you, like, me ride a roller coaster with a panda? Or Kevin ride go-karts with a Sri Lankan water buffalo?
I don't know what that other...
That roller coaster with a panda. I like the roller coaster with the panda.
That panda's face is going to have so many... he's got his eucalyptus or whatever. That's
I want Rizzler on the roller coaster, too. I want you, Rizzler, and the panda on the roller coaster.
Yes, I would totally be okay with that.
That Sri Lankan water buffalo
is boss. Not fitting in the go-kart either, yeah. And then last one, would you rather watch Kevin couples figure skate or me try to get 2 yards in the NFL?
Because
everybody says there's no way you're getting two yards in the NFL.
You get 2 yards in the NFL. Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah.
I want to see that other
I
one
think
as
so.
Well.
I've been trying to get all these off the ground. Corporate's keeping us down.
I think you're going to. Who's your offensive line? Who's the defense? Who's your offense? What defense are we going against?
I'm going to have to take the Cowboys offensive line. And you know what? Let's take the Steelers defensive line. Let's go old school back and forth there.
Wait, do I get the old 90s Cowboys offensive
you're
line?
You're fit couple figure skating, all right? I'm the one that's trying to get 2 yards
Yeah, we're done with the figure skating.
I know it was your dream to win a gold medal or maybe a bronze.
You saved the cat from the tree. You're good.
Yeah, everything's okay. I'm going to go. I know the Cowboys offensive line has some spots.
You got chocolate bars on the street. You saved the cat from the tree. What's the other?
I'm helping the community.
I rode with a panda. So that was so that's it. That's
Wait, Corey, let's do this. Who's your offensive line? Any era, any offensive line? Who
you taking? I'm taking Larry Allen and Zach Martin on either side. So I'm giving myself some Cowboys.
Right, so we're taking the big Cowboys.
So you want the souped up Great Wall
I'll
of
take
Dallas.
Mark Stepnoski in the middle. And I guess I'll take Tyron Smith. I love Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
And then give me Tuna on the other side. So that's my – I'm taking
I kind of think he's together a Cowboys offensive line.
Now we want – do we want to go with one of the worst defensive lines ever?
I want to stack it up against somebody good. You know, so
you want to stack it up against somebody good.
Yeah, I got a good offensive line. Okay. I'm confident in them. Now I just got to get 2 yards. I just got to find the right hole and get 2 yards in on this.
All right. So let's think of some. All right. So, of course, we got to think 85 Bears.
Yes,
man.
All right. We got to think 85 Bears.
I want Mongo, another wrestling personality.
Another Mongo. Yeah. Rest in peace, Mongo.
We have Richard Dent out there.
All right. This is tough.
I think. Now, of course, me coming from the northern New Jersey, New York area, we got to think 2011 New York Giants.
That was a good defensive line.
Kiwanuka, Justin Tuck, who, by the way, Eli Manning has 2 Super Bowl MVP trophies in his house right now that belong to Justin Tuck.
I could see that. How do you feel?
So wait, real quick. We had JPP. Yep. We had Kiwanuka. We had Justin Tuck, OCU, and Euro.
See, because I want Aaron Donald or Mark Gastineau as well. Do we consider either one of those guys?
He's just going Giants here. Okay. It sounds like.
Oh, you just want Giants? Okay, just Giants. All right.
Well, no, but it's got to be a team. I mean, true. We can't forget about what Reggie White's Eagles team, right? With Reggie White, Jerome Brown.
Good. Yeah, anything with Reggie White was going to be good. The Steel Curtain back in the day, too.
I think you're in
85
trouble.
Bears. Let's go 85 Bears.
Yeah.
Right. I think.
Hey, let's not forget the 2000 Ravens.
Oh, my God. Ray Lewis. Well. That's not technically defensive line, but they could end your fantasy. Mike Singletary could end your fantasy going back to the Bears.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at the other side of this. What's the worst defense of all time that you would just run right over and get your 2 yards?
A Texas Tech defense. I know that's a college. I want a Texas Tech defensive line from back in the day.
I'm picking up 8 yards at least.
Yeah,
8 yards could, at least.
What was the 0-16 Lions
team? That was Marinelli. Rod Marinelli was coaching that team at the time.
You want to take that defense?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
We'll go with that defense.
Yeah. I think you can get two yards with that offensive line.
With that Cowboy offensive line, you're good.
And those sounds in that video is going to be awesome.
Okay.
It's great. Pow!
So because of that, I'm really curious about this. You guys have been able to do so many amazing things with your content, with your channels, now with wrestling. Is there a next stop that you're like, I would like to get into this space, or your family wants to get into this space that maybe you haven't experienced yet? Because it honestly feels like at this point, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but like there's nothing that you guys couldn't pursue.
First off, thank you so much. And because we make it all about the audience. We make it all about making everybody happy, making everybody feel like they're part of our channel. And that's where the pro wrestling background comes in. That's where the pro wrestling background. I mean, our channel is our channel. It's everybody's channel. The boom belongs to everyone. Our next step is long form content. We are really working into long form content. I think once you establish yourself on YouTube, like a Mr. Beast, like a FaZe Rug, like a Preston who's right here in the Dallas area, Dude Perfect, Unspeakable, all Dallas guys, Texas guys. I think once you really master long-form content, and it's very, very challenging, it would be a lot easier for a long-form content creator to get into the short game than it is for someone that came up in the short game like we did to get into long-form. But we're cracking the code every day.
Yeah.
We're cracking the code every day. We've got some great people supporting us, helping us out. So that is our next venture.
Yeah, it is nice to have some people that understand that business to kind of help you navigate through it all. Because for me, I'd be like, hey, I play Call of Duty. I'm just going to stream Call of Duty. And they're like 2 viewers the entire time.
Well,
but you got to figure out what it is that you're passionate about that you can involve your audience in and get
make
them
sure there's
go
stakes.
With you.
Make sure that there's something on the line. So if you don't win the Call of Duty, you're saving a cat from a tree.
Yes, exactly.
You're going to beg for chocolate bar. That's what's going to keep the audience sticking around.
Yes.
So for the event itself, tomorrow, AEW All in Texas, we just had somebody text in and said, I've never been to a wrestling event, got 2 tickets for my two sons, their friends, and me. I'm so excited. You can get tickets at AEWTix.com. You can go to AllEliteWrestling.com. You can go to Ticketmaster. This is going to be a legitimate sellout. I'm curious your pitch, not just for you, but for people who maybe they're not as familiar with the AEW product or they're thinking about checking it out. Yeah. Why would you tell them to go tomorrow? Or honestly, you can go tonight at the Esports Arena in Arlington for the Ring of Honor supercard show.
Because you're going to feel like you're part of the show. You're going to feel like you're part of the show. You're going to go there. You're going to leave that place, and you're going to feel like you were part of the show. You're going to feel the energy. You're going to feel the excitement between the ring entrances, between the wrestling itself, between who you're going to meet at the show. Come to the after party. You are going to feel like you were part of this weekend. You're going to feel like you were part of this show. And, you know, whoever does come out there tonight, I hope I get a chance to meet you. I hope you get a chance to take a picture with me, a picture of Big Justice, a picture with the Rizzler. We really want to send you home happy. Make this a weekend you're never going to forget.
You just said something. Not everybody is in that space who's super famous. I don't mean in AEW. I just mean in the world. You seem like y'all go out of your way if somebody takes the time to follow your content and to want to meet you guys. Yeah. It seems like y'all go out of your way to be like, hey, I want to meet you too.
My heart is broken if every picture isn't taken.
Yeah.
Because the way I see it, it's like we're where we are because of everyone.
For sure.
And, you know, listen, I don't know when I'm coming back to Dallas. And if I'm here in Dallas and someone has an opportunity to take a picture with me and I miss that, and now I'm back in Boca Raton, Florida, it's like, when is that person ever going to get that opportunity again? So I do look a lot through the eyes of our audience, and I do all I can to, you know, to keep that energy going.
I do. I say this all the time when people are like, oh, I saw you so-and-so, but I didn't want to say anything. I'm like, no, say hi.
Oh,
please.
Come on over. Say hi.
We're here because we get to talk to you guys every day. And I'm like, please come over and say hi. So I'm Tom Thumb famous because of my Tom Thumb. They say hi, and I appreciate that.
It is.
What's really funny, Kevin, what's really funny is, so sometimes I recognize it where someone's looking and like, you know, they don't have the courage to come over. And I walk over and I say, hey, I'd love to get a picture with you, right?
That's so cool.
And they're like, wow, we were waiting. Now there is the occasional time where I read it wrong. And I go over like, hey, I'd love to take a picture. Why do you want to take a picture with me?
Hey, strange big guy, why don't you back up just a little bit? I'm with you, man. It is amazing how many people ask us about coming up to the studio for this when we've had, you know, Dirk on, Jason Kidd, Jerry Jones, all these people are like, that's great. Hey, we're going to have the Costco guys up. What time is that? Can I come up there?
I've wanted to come up here to see an interview before. Not one single time. They get to ride the elevator with you.
That's awesome. And that means so much. And, you know, we heard that when we went on the Jimmy Kimmel show. The staff there was like, oh, yeah, we had this guy and that guy and this woman and everybody here last week. And nobody wanted to see anybody like they wanted to see you guys. And then when we went out to, when we wrestled at Revolution and we went to the Lakers game, we were walking on the court and the PR manager says, I had this star and that star and the Kardashians here last weekend. And everybody wants to see you. You're taking more pictures than anybody.
That's too fun.
I'm sure everybody knows by now, but in addition to tonight, Esports Stadium in Arlington, tomorrow, Globe Life Field, all in Texas, where can people follow y'all on social media? I'm sure they know, but just in case they don't.
You got it. It's AJ and Big Justice, of course, on TikTok, of course, on Instagram, of course, on YouTube. We got some amazing long-form content coming your way, and we love everyone that follows us, everyone that supports us. We won't let you down. We'll keep bringing the boom. We'll keep bringing some great content your way.
Man, thank you so much for the time, and as we've been talking about all week, several of us are super duper excited for All in Texas tomorrow. If we could convince Corey to ever go anywhere with us, that would be great. In the meantime, I should be out there. Alex should be out there. It is going to be a party, ladies and gentlemen.
It's going to be a big boom.
Tremendous. Love it.